Hey guys, welcome back to season 6 of Orange is the New Black here at AfterBuzz TV. Today we're going to tell you all about Piper, Alex, and newcomer Madison. If you want to hear our thoughts, stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Our favorite theme song.
Oh my god, the best.
Hey, when this theme song came out, everybody was about, I think everyone downloaded their song on Spotify or Apple Play or Google Music. I think it's just been so many fun. But I will say, every time when it comes back, the first episode, I'm always like,
oh. Yeah, it's a little bit of excitement, and then a couple episodes in, you're like, okay, I'm done.
Thank you guys so much for joining us here in studio for season 6 of Orange is the New Black. We're doing things a little different this year. We're going to be discussing the season in a whole, but just by different characters. And I know that I am a new face to look at. My name is Brianna Phipps, and I have a couple other new faces to look at next to me. Can you guys introduce yourselves for the fans?
Yep, I'm Francesca Dugan.
And hey guys, I'm Christine Alexis.
And do not worry, next week, April and Scott, I believe, and Leslie will all be back. Francesca will be sticking with you, but me and Christine, maybe we'll just pop in from time to time.
Time to time.
But we'll hold it down for today. Yeah. So what is your guys' thought? Let's do just sort of general thoughts on the whole season. Just a quick, like, what did you guys think about this season compared to others?
It was a lot better than last season. Last season kind of dragged because it was like, remember last season was like just those 3 days that spanned for like eternity.
Yeah.
And so I was actually hesitant to start watching this season. And everyone's like, oh, you still watch it? I'm like, yeah, but I actually, it was kind of nice because we got new characters, kind of a little different storyline. So I liked it a lot better than the previous season.
I agree. The newcomers were a pleasant surprise. I wasn't sure how we were going to move forward from that riot. It felt like the longest riot ever, like a 5-day long riot. So I was glad that the season picked up right where we left off, but not directly in it, just kind of the aftermath and how their lives have changed since that. So I'm pleasantly surprised by season 6.
Yeah, I think that this was a good season. I also enjoyed last season as well, but I think that what we needed from this season and last season was a mix-up because I feel like 3, 4, even 2 was just kind of day-to-day life in the prison, which is good, and there was some mix-ups here and there, but we needed them in a new atmosphere, in a new environment to see how they react in these different scenarios rather than just in here's your data life, here's maybe one or two newcomers. No, here's a whole bunch of people that have been here for many more years than you, and you're all the newcomers again.
Right.
Was really refreshing to watch.
Plus some new guards who honestly have been such D-bags this season. My goodness. I mean, that definitely raised the stakes, I think, of this season.
Yeah.
Especially for our characters like Daya and people that we've grown to love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always definitely a catch-22 with this show where you love and hate it all at the same time because of how angry it can make you feel at
times.
Right,
yeah.
Well, let's dive right into it. Like I said, today we're going to be talking about Alex and Piper and Madison, which I really hate saying that name. Every time they said it, I was like, just call her Madison. Like, this is your nickname.
You what? You don't like Madison? You don't like when she talks like this? Because I can do a really good Boston accent, but I think you guys would get tired of it. Am I right? Or am I right?
Well, some people in the prison, I think, we're definitely getting tired. But let's start from the beginning. Let's go from where we start off with Piper. We see her. We open up with her in SHU. We get her little fun TV time with Suzanne, just asking, where is Alex? And a Jeopardy-style game show. So we learn right off the bat, she doesn't know where Alex is or what happened to Alex, and neither do we. Because last scene we saw was them at that pool, and that's it.
Yeah.
So we know some people are here. We know obviously not everybody's here, and Alex is one of the people that is not here, but where is she?
Right. And also some people were on different buses, and so we were all left hanging.
Yeah. We didn't really know who we would see this season.
That's true.
Except for, you know, there's certain people you pretty much figure, I guess, that you would see, but yeah, we were left in the dark, as it were, same as the inmates. But so Piper is on this trek to find Alex, and during this whole span of time, we find out that
Piscatella.
Oh, I'm not people. Saying it right. Sorry, yeah. My brain is on fire. Piscatella, they start like slowly finding out that he's dead, and Red tries to get this message to Piper saying that he's dead, where she then jumps the gun, thinks that she's talking about Alex, because all she gets is the tall one in the pool. Like, tall one is dead in the pool.
Yeah, I mean, Piper is in desperation mode right now, but I was so mad that she was so quick to come to that conclusion mm-hmm. because that is such a cryptic message. There are plenty of tall inmates. What if she was talking about, what's her name? Who does the hair? Who's transgendered?
I blame on everyone's names too. It's so bad. I forget
at this point. But, like, there's plenty of other tall inmates. I was like, come on, Piper.
We found out earlier on that it wasn't inmates, so she that had died in the pool. And so I think that's why she's jumping to that conclusion. But
yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where, you know, they say, like, when your husband and wife are so connected, you can always feel when something happens to the other person. Like, did she really get that feeling in her gut that Alex was gone? Because I didn't. I feel like we would see her later, at least at that point. I wasn't sold that she was really gone.
Were you thinking she was gone or?
No, I was more confused because we were left hanging at the end. So I was like, wait, did they show something I just don't remember? Or are we all in the dark? But I thought it was fitting for Piper just because I felt last season Piper's character was extremely annoying. And so she started off this season kind of annoying because she was just super freaked out about Alex. While it's understandable. Do you know what I mean? But I was like, I feel like Red would have gone about it differently if it was Alex. She yeah. wouldn't have, like, just...
Set the way she thought it.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing a game of charades.
Exactly.
Yeah, tall one. I mean, they were lovers. Like, there is a different way, I think, to get that across.
Well, then we move on. Piper has to sit down to tell her testimony of what happened. And she very quickly turns on Red because of her thinking Alex is dead. And that Red is the one that instigated everything that happened and Piscatella. So... what are your guys' thoughts on how fast she kind of turned on Red?
Piper, you know, Piper trusts authority a lot more than she should.
Yeah.
And we see that in so many different scenarios throughout the season mm-hmm. of just trusting that if she speaks up and does the right thing, that people are going to believe her. I think she's still operating within her privilege, which is surprising 6 seasons in a place like Litchfield that gives you no rights. And I think the riot really showed them that.
Right.
So for her to... I mean, maybe she felt like that was her only option in that point, but we see it later in the season where she just does some questionable Piper things where it's like, girl, use your head. Like, this isn't about you. Like, this system is against you at all times. So, frustrating. It's, you know, that really was the domino effect, I think, to everyone else turning on Red.
Yeah, I think so, too. You're talking about her privilege and her being so selfish. She was not even really paying attention to the interrogators or... Mm-hmm. The FBI or whoever it was, she was just thinking Alex. So she was just like, yeah, whatever. That happened.
I found it surprising considering the entire reason she was in prison in the first place was because of what Alex said about her, that she'd be so quick to just give information about another inmate that she considered a friend.
It's just in Piper's character, I guess so.
To
fold. I don't know.
Well, due to her actions, we see later on, we'll talk about Red in a different episode, but just to preempt it, Red does get 10 more years, which... understandably that creates some tension between the two of them moving forward for the rest of the season. But after this testimony gets said, she gets moved down to Max, which is not Shu. It's slightly different, slightly
Gen
better.
Gen Pop, right?
Gen Pop, thank you. Where she actually gets to interact with people on a day-to-day basis. So that's the big difference, which I think anyone that's been isolated for any time would be grateful
yes.
to get out of some situation as that.
Especially after, this is still the aftermath of the riot where information is scarce. So being in Gen Pop where you can communicate with other people, I think is also crucial to putting the pieces back together for
right.
Piper.
Exactly. If she was in Gen Pop when they were trying to get the message across, they wouldn't have like, you know, all this with Red and
yeah.
everything else wouldn't have happened.
Well, and then we meet her room. Well, we didn't just meet her roommate. She was her roommate in Shu as well, Madison. Which is also the person that helped get the message across to everybody.
Right.
And right. her, I didn't understand how they could talk to people in the prison yard, but with Piper, they gave her a book. But it is what it is. We ended up here. Madison, new kind of top dog, not complete top, like, if you're a manager, she's the assistant manager, I would
she's
kind
like
of put.
The right hand.
Yeah.
Kind of, right?
But like the really bossy assistant manager who's really gunning for the general manager's
the
job.
The flunky that thinks they're really, really good at their job, but...
not quite. Although Mac727 in the chat says that he loved, he or she, I'm going to assume he, loved the season and watched it in a day.
Oh, wow.
Thought Madison was so annoying that he wanted Piper to slap her.
I too wanted someone to slap her.
Anybody.
She took the annoying crown from Piper for sure. But you know, I really like, my favorite part about Orange is all the flashbacks that they do. And I really like seeing Madison's character's flashback, because you understand like why she is the way she is. You know, we see her in the camp where she's like for bad kids, right? And whatever. And then you think that she's gonna be nice to this girl, and then she ends up setting the girl on fire just so the mean kids can like her.
Well, she didn't even mean to set her on fire, I don't think, did she?
Yeah, she did, because she was like,
she fell.
Do you want to see a cockroach on fire? And she sprayed the
hairspray. I think she meant to like spray a little bit though, and I think the fall created, because like, she seemed very surprised. Because she fell down, and she seemed very surprised as to what just happened.
I just remember her smirks when she realized that the other campers that were like mean to her were like, "Oh my God, you're actually bad."
Madison, I feel like she's just like that kid who just loves attention. Whether it's good or bad, she needs people to be focusing on her.
We saw that with the flashback, even with school.
Right.
That she got made fun of for farting.
Yeah.
Fartisan. And then she's just a tantrum thrower. Yeah. And her parents call her out on it, and she doesn't like to be called out. She wants to be perceived in one way, and she wants people's respect, but she doesn't know how to get it, so she does it in whatever way she can figure out to get it. Which usually doesn't gain any respect.
No.
And as we see from the season, there's very little respect for her in terms of actual respect.
Right.
There's just fear.
Yeah, she's fear-mongering like hell. Because, I mean, in prison, what else do you have to go on? Like, we're going to stick together. Loyalties only run so far when someone has a shiv behind you in the shower, you know right? what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we see Madison getting all these pranks. What did you think of her and her pranks? The cheese prank in particular is one of our first ones we get encountered with.
I mean, I love cheese, but don't put it in my nose, you know?
And her ears.
And her ear, yeah. Like,
it was very little kiddish. I think that was, like, Madison warming up a little bit, because it does get worse. I mean,
no, it does.
This is the same person who will send you to medical if you look at her left. So I think starting with cheese was...
Well, this was the day before Halloween, right?
Right.
Mischief day.
Yeah.
So this was her holiday, that she was just having a good old time stuffing cheese in people's ears. Because that's the best. I was kind of like, this is the best you can do?
Yeah.
So you weren't impressed?
No.
What would be your mischief day prank in prison with the limited resources that you have?
See, call me boring, but I hate pranks and I hate stuff like that. So I'm out of this one. I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do, but I'm just saying, if you're going to title yourself as this person that's really good at pranks and this is what you're known for and that's the prank you pull.
Well, don't forget, Madison still has a leash, right?
Carol
runs her leash. So we see Madison kind of operate within that and without of those bounds all season. Maybe she was just playing it cool this time around.
Madison, if I was to describe her just so simply, it would be that person that thinks that they're in the inner circle, but it's not, in the inner circle.
Yeah, like they're laughing at you, not with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, the flashbacks made me feel for her. Present day, I still wanted to strangle her. And I was like, God, get this girl. Like, is someone going to stand up to her?
I was so backwards on that, because I did not feel bad for her at all from the flashbacks. I was like, girl, get your life together. It doesn't seem that bad.
Right.
I mean, I agree. I mean, I was bullied growing up. So, like, seeing that, I kind of was like, well, you know, I turned out okay. I didn't take my misery out on everyone else in the world. But she was terrorized. I don't know. I'm trying to play devil's advocate.
No, and I get what you're saying. Her, it's just, I think the reason I had trouble is because the only bullying we saw was just a nickname, which I get is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had gotten, like, repeated bullying from her and then this is what happened, it would make more sense, which maybe we're supposed to just assume.
Assume, yeah.
I think we're supposed to assume. And I think also that moment with her parents was also very telling, just the way that they speak to her. You can tell that there's obvious frustration. There's a lack of respect there. So I think that foundation of how you respond to what life throws at you is kind of built at home. And it seems like that wasn't there for her anyway. So everything else that happened afterwards was just a reflection of her acting out, I think,
right,
from not having
that. You can only act on what you know, and it doesn't seem like she got the best upbringing or the most supportive people around her growing up. But it's no excuse for her. Like you said, if you got bullied, you're fine. There's no excuse for her to turn out the way she did. But
to turn around still, and start bullying others.
Yeah, she's stuck in that.
It's a vicious cycle. Gosh. Well, you know, speaking of vicious cycles and drama and bullying. We cover a lot of other shows at AfterBuzz that kind of talk about those things too, especially if you follow the reality TV competition channel. Lots of drama there. But I wanted to use this moment to actually talk to you guys about AfterBuzz TV, because our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve you television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow, which how awesome is that? And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. It's 2018. You can just turn those off. What I want you to do instead is hit that subscribe button right below this video for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz TV YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air, or maybe the actual panel will thank you next week when they're here. But for now, just thank you for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. And again, we are on the drama channel right now. So if you are subscribing to us, then that's where you'll find us.
All the drama.
All the drama. And this was, I'm going to save it for news.
Oh, okay. We'll get to it later.
We're going to tease that out a little bit for you guys. We will have a news segment and a special segment coming up a little bit later in the show. But for now, let's talk a little bit more, because we do see a little different side to Battison right after the whole... No, I guess I'm actually jumping. Sorry, it's hard when you've finished a season. But
right. I know, right?
We did see right before the cheese incident, before Mischief Day, before Alex and Piper reunite, we do see that little bit of sympathy with Battison when she finds out that she thinks... when Piper thinks that Alex is dead, and she
right
lets her have that little moment. You know, as much sympathy as Bass can give.
Right, that's it. That's it.
So we get a little different side to her on that one. But yes, then we find out Alex is not dead. We found out a little bit sooner than everybody else, because she was in, like, the medical area.
Oh, yeah.
The
prison. She's getting, because, like, transferred out or
yeah, back into Gen It's because Pop? Of her arm, because she broke her arm last season, and they makeshift a little... Not yeah. good cast for her. So she got as good of one as the prison system will give her, which is right. better than the old one, but maybe not the best that there is.
She did mention, though, in that same breath that she had gotten, like, a surgery to fix what they did, and then a surgery to fix that on top of it. So I was, like, kind of surprised that she even was afforded surgery in her position.
That is true. And especially when we see future, what they're kind of treating people like in the yeah. medical thing. I'm like, huh.
They're letting people deal with, like, internalized bleeding and injuries, but... Piper gets to go have surgery. I mean, good for her, but...
Alex.
Sorry about that. Those two.
Well, they're reunited, and Alex does it in true Alex fashion of pretending she doesn't know who Piper is, which I was girl, for Piper, you don't understand this sarcasm happening right now. Because Piper full-on just believes that she forgot her.
Piper.
Oh, she's Piper. The best person to play that kind of prank on, though, because yeah. she's so high-strung all the time.
And gullible.
Very.
She's lucky that she has Alex to put up with all her stuff. Like, especially in this season, you see how much Alex does for her behind Piper's back, and Piper doesn't even realize it.
I feel like Piper would already be dead if Alex wasn't there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, it also is a testament to how much Alex really does love her. Like, mm-hmm. I genuinely think, like, she really, really cares about her. I don't know if... Piper deserves all that, but Alex does love her and looks out for her so, so much.
And I think Piper does love Alex as well. I think it's just, their lives were just very different before this.
Yeah.
And so it's not always shown in the same way. Mm-hmm. But we move on to the whole, I'm going to call it the saga, because I feel like there's like a three-part saga with the Battison, Alex, Piper debacle, where Piper would do something, piss off Battison, Alex would have to step in and take control. But she always let Piper kind of feel like she did something.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, she did everything behind Piper, so just to make Piper happy and safe, which is cute.
Yeah. I mean, some relationships are like that, where someone's like the alpha, or they... I don't even know if it's necessarily an alpha-beta thing in this situation, but I think Alex just knows that Piper likes to feel right and likes to feel like she did something. So she just... place it cool, because that's what Babe likes, and that's what keeps them both happy, so it works for their environment. I don't know that would play out in the real world, maybe, but because prior to this, they seemed like they had more of like a Bonnie and Clyde type relationship, like they were business partners doing all that stuff
right
before this happened. But
yeah, I mean, the first time is that Alex gives Battison the information about the cell phones, that she should be kind of stepping up her game from drugs to something, because she, what was the line? She said something about people in here will do something for, like, basically anything.
Right.
And so she gives her the tip that loose check, it was a very easy guard to manipulate into helping you. So Battison gets the idea to travel cell phones into the prison through loose check's class.
His little Zumba
type
class.
until Rose takes it over, just bad. Bad music. But she gives Battison a little up game and a little more cred, and so she leaves Piper alone. But then Piper has to stand up again. Skipping forward a little bit, we'll talk about the whole kickball beginning in a bit, but she takes over the kickball team when Battison... It turns very, very fast once Piper gets a kickball team going into Battison C block versus D block.
Right.
And then when she stands up, because... And honestly, she is the better coach. We're not arguing this, but she, again, thinks that this is going to go well for her.
Right.
Steps up, goes in there, and...
Wants to be the captain.
And that doesn't go very well over with Battison.
No. Yeah, no, it's like she pissed on her territory and doesn't want Piper to come anywhere near it. Like, this is her thing, you know?
Well, I think the main thing is that she just needs, it's that domino effect. If one person can stand up to her, then what's to stop everybody else from doing it?
Right. I think Battison is someone who very much needs that, like, herd mentality to still be in effect in prison. Like, they're all following behind her. And if someone breaks away from that, it's a danger to her position.
Mm-hmm. And it's a danger to position with Carol as well.
Of course.
She doesn't want to lose any of those things, because what else, like you said before, what else do you have in prison?
And can I be real here for a second? That Carol scares me way more than Battison does. Like, Battison's annoying, but Carol is, like, ruthless.
Well, plus, Carol's just quiet. You always have to be careful when people are quiet and watching.
Mm-hmm. Quiet.
Because if they're running their mouth, then they're not paying attention.
Right.
If they're quiet, they're seeing everything.
Not to mention she killed her sister. Like, that whole... Oh, my God. That gutted me, but that's not on this.
Not on this session.
We'll get to that on another episode.
We'll talk to that on another episode.
But
let's rewind a little bit with the kickball thing. So Piper wants to bring some happiness back to this gym pop, and wants people to be able to go out and have fun and get exercise. And so she's going to reinstate the kickball when she finds photos of it from
back in the day,
as we saw in a flashback from a different episode.
Did she not see them fighting in those photos, though? Because I feel like that was captured. I don't know what led her to think that was a good idea. Right? Like,
I don't know if Piper fully thinks about things before she does.
I'm telling you, she has these rose-colored sunglasses on that everything she does is going to make the world a better place. I feel you. Maybe you listened to Michael Jackson a little too long, but, like, it just... Like, you gotta really admire her optimism. Like I said, this is coming off of a riot where you felt like there was no hope for this place, and then you're just... I mean, kudos to her for trying to leave one bright spot left in this prison after everything happened. So you can look at it both ways.
And she succeeds. She gets the names that she needs to get to start the kickball team off, which she does by making amends kind of with Maria in the Christianity
prayer group
thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which she gets led to, which we kind of skipped over, but by her first roommate, Beth. Who is the child killer.
Yeah, she killed her kids.
Killed three kids, I believe is what they said.
Awkward.
So she brings her there, and we get the little flashback moment where we see the burn on her arm that Maria gave her from their whole debacle back in the day. A thing you think Piper would have learned from by now. But she gets her team, and then we get C-Block versus D-Block.
Right. And I don't know if this is—it's probably a topic that can be spread out through all the parts of that we're going to cover. But it was really interesting, like, you know, C block and D block. It's just because you're there, you're just claiming those sides, and so it was causing all these issues. And I like towards the end of the season, they're talking about it's just colors, and so it's getting ahead.
I think. No, but it is true. Like that's what the show does really well, is it kind of relates everything back to one overall theme, whether it be race, whether it be gender, whether it be. So I think that that's a really smart thing that they do, and they play into a lot, which I appreciate from them. But we are getting short on time, so I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. So because of this whole team captain debacle and the making Bass and Madigan Bass and starts on this determination to take time away and to take the day away from Piper of her release date. And so she's going to do whatever is in her power to make sure she gets some more years so that people know not to mess with her, which in return makes Alex have to kind of step in, mm-hmm. go to Carol.
Again,
we see her throw away her application for business school, and she goes to Carol, and she is going to team up with Carol, letting her know she's the brains behind all of Madison's operations, and then that will make Madison leave Piper alone, which works.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Piper has already gone to the guard.
Yeah, Piper went to the guard Hopper,
who the head guard.
The head guard, who this season is dating Elaida, Daya's mom. Hello. But that kind of tips him off because she brings up the fact that, like, she can help, you know, find out who's smuggling drugs into the prison if he helps her, because she's telling him about the fact that Madison's coming after her.
Yeah. Again, we see Piper's putting blind faith, which in this case kind of worked for her.
That was the biggest, like,
I think wow it moment. Only worked because she did it right, like, 2 seconds before the other guard tried to put a notice out on her. Like,
well, the notice had already went through.
No, it was right after he finished doing all of the numbering system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
And then he gave him. But that, like, happened, like, within a day of each other. So
yeah.
But I think notice, that proved her story.
The notice was because Madison was talked to the other guard. Forgot his name.
Hellman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, yeah, I like that. It was just perfect timing for Piper. So, you know, she got her way because Hopper's dealing with drugs. So he gets freaked out because he's like, oh, shit, does she?
He has a lot to lose.
Pardon my French. Does he? Is it because she's getting drugs from the ones
that
I'm...
Well, yeah, that's the question. Did he bring her number up because he just wanted her to not be on this drug investigation? Or did he put the number in because he saw what was going on and wanted to get her out of there?
I think it was on his selfish, I think on so his too. Part.
Because his motives behind that, it's not even just the drugs. It's getting the drug money so that he can help out his girlfriend get her kids back. So that the investment for him is so far along that he can't have Piper come mm-mm. in and mess that up. I don't even think it was really about helping her. That was just a nice silver lining for our main character.
I also kind of wonder if now he knows that Hellman's the one bringing the other drugs in.
Because
he knows that there's more drugs coming
in. I don't know. That's a good question.
On that note, too, I hate Hellman so much. I didn't know I could hate a guard this...
There was so many guards to hate this season for different reasons. But he's definitely...
The most brutal, the most, like, disgusting, the ruthless, heartless. It's bad. It's really bad.
Well, due to all of these actions, everything that happened with them, Piper gets immediate release. And is released literally the next day.
Crazy. I like that we see that she almost struggles with the fact that she's going to be released. Because she's gotten so used to just being in jail. And it's like her whole life's in there. Alex is in there. She's used to it. And now if she's going, like, what is she... What's there to do?
The tables have completely turned from earlier seasons where she wanted so badly to get out and save her failing engagement, fix her friendship with her best friend who ended up, you know, taking her her fiance, and just all the things in her life that needed fixing outside of those walls. Now, like you said, everything that's important to her is inside.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think even for someone as privileged as her, it was kind of refreshing to see her struggling with going back into the real world, because it's I mean, we'll see that, I guess, next season, if it's as easy as she thinks it's going to be or not. And I have a feeling, just by the way the season ended for a couple of girls who got out that day, that it's just not what they expect.
Yeah. And I think, you know, they've shown us before with other prisoners how it's not easy to leave prison. And even when you're out in the real world, how hard it is. So
Elaida's whole storyline.
Yeah. Elaida's whole storyline, Alex's whole storyline,
yeah.
Tasty's whole storyline in that one season. And speaking of Tasty, we get that really cool scene with her and Piper where Piper does talk about why do people always pick on me? Like, why is this keep happening to me? And she lets her know, because they see what they want in you. And I thought that was such a cool scene to have.
Very much so.
Yeah. I think that I don't know, you know, how much people were receptive, but like watching it for me, I was like, oh wow, like that really hits home. Like, now I feel like I can check myself a little bit more.
Watching it for me, it meant a lot too, because she kind of interlaced that conversation with, you know, race and what it feels like to be a Black woman every day and constantly having to wear that armor on all the time. And I was like, wow, Orange is the New Black Orange is the New Black found a really cool way to, like, explain that in layman's terms to the one person in the prison who probably needed to hear it the most.
The most.
So it was a great moment.
Yeah, and I think that they did it in such a, in the way that is going to make it very understandable for people watching it. Like,
right, because like all the time
when we have these discussions in real life, I feel like people just don't always get it. And it 100%, you're never ever going to get what someone else is going through. You'll never be able to. But at least that this kind of laid it out in a way that was explainable and was maybe a little bit, okay, I kind of can get that.
Right.
Yeah. I can get what you're talking about.
And, you know, Tasty was very much tied to this Black Lives Matter kind of movement through this season, too. So she was that voice in that situation as well. So
yeah, and we will definitely talk about all of that and more in the upcoming episodes. But the last thing that happened with this whole thing is the wedding.
The prison wedding.
The prison wedding, because Piper wants a prison wedding so badly.
So funny.
And I thought that again, Alex stepping up.
Right.
Yeah.
Alex really became
sweet.
A really big sweetheart this season. Mm-hmm.
They almost lost each other. So maybe they're just like really trying to cherish every moment. But she really pulled that off. Like, it was very nice also of Luzczyk to allow that to happen and kind of look the other way and give them that last moment.
Luzczyk needs to let everybody do it because he's been such a D-bag.
Yeah, Luzczyk's not even really like a true guard. Like he puts that like douchebag, like I'm a guard thing when it like really sucks. But other times he's so chill. Like
he just wants a paycheck. That's all he wants. He even said it this season. We'll talk about it later. But yeah, he just wants to sit back and get paid.
Mm-hmm. He's like, don't rock the boat, ladies. That's it. That's his MO.
But I thought that was such a sweet way to end it. Was this reunion, like being reunited, getting this wedding, and then having to be torn apart again.
I know.
Well, that's my question. Like, do you think this is the last sweet moment we're ever going to see between the two? Because what if Alex does something really messed up and doesn't get out now and doesn't get to actually be with Piper on the other side?
Right. And their vows were like, I'm going to wait for you. You need to get out ASAP.
Yeah.
Alex's vows were also so much sweeter than Piper's.
I know.
So much.
There's Piper in her own little selfish world right there.
That was 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, you need to get out because I need you.
Yeah, Alex is being so sweet and telling her exactly how she feels. She's like, what do you think when you look at me and then you need to not mess up?
Yeah.
Oh, Piper. But that about covers it for today's coverage. Like I said, we will be back future dates with the original panel. We'll be here talking to you all about all the other characters, all the other crazy things that happened in the season. So don't worry if we miss some details today, because they will definitely make sure that they get them in before we're done coverage of the season. Before we leave, though, we do have a really quick special segment we want to bring to you guys.
Woo-hoo.
Christine, you want to cue that up?
Oh, our special segment. Oh, okay. So we were trying to think of something kind of fun to play with Orange is the New Black. I mean, they make it super funny and entertaining for us already. But I propose today that we play a little game of like prison Tinder.
So how about you read us three names out and we'll tell you if we swipe right or left.
All right. I like that. So I'm going to start with the ladies that we've been talking a lot about tonight, Piper, Alex, and Madison. Swipe right or swipe left on Piper?
Wait, right is yes and left
right
is no?
Yes. That right is right. Yes, left is no. Left.
On Piper, Piper, left. Piper, left.
Hard left.
Hard yes.
I can't deal. No, too much.
No.
All right, Alex.
She'll be right.
Alex now right.
Yeah.
Earlier seasons I wouldn't have, but now I will.
Agreed. Plus, Alex seems like a giver. Just saying. And Madison.
Left. All the way left.
Way,
the most left
way
you
left.
Can get it. Blocker. Because she's going to be that person that contacts you and is getting mad at you for saying no.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's hard pass.
Hard
on
pass
that.
On that.
We're going to block her on Tinder and block her on Bumble, whatever.
All social media forms.
And if you guys have any thoughts on what you would do on these situations, let us know in the comments below and we will look at them later, because we love hearing from you guys. And
yes.
Left and right. These are hard choices, people.
Wait, I want to throw in a bonus one before we go. Let's do... Ooh. This is random, but Red with her new hair. What do you guys think? Swipe left or right?
I don't know. Something about Red, I kind of lost. Maybe it's because she cooks. I might swipe right on that.
She'll take care of you. Ooh, okay. Swipe right. What do you think?
I gotta say the blonde fits her a little bit better. So I guess right.
Yeah, I'm gonna say swipe right. I like the blonde on her, and I like that she's always just been a badass B-word since day one. And you know, no matter what adversity is thrown at her, she always finds a way.
All right, and then really, really, really fast, because I know we're out of time, I'm gonna just do one quick news.
Tell us.
AfterBuzz TV News.
This was, I believe, the first year that for the Emmys, Orange is the New Black was nominated as a drama over a comedy.
Ooh. Oh. That is big
and
news.
And I think it says a lot about the season as to that it was nominated. Last year might have been, too. I'm not 100% on that one. But I do know that it is now, whether it was last year or this year being the first one, it is now being put in as a drama over a comedy, which it was in the first seasons.
Dope. I like that.
Me too. Yeah, because I didn't really like hard laugh a lot, but it was a lot of like important moments, like we're talking about C Block, D Block, Black Lives Matter, white privilege, like stuff like that. There's a lot of deep stuff in the last few seasons.
Yeah. It's always been kind of a juggle balancing those lighthearted and hard topics too, dealing with Pusey dying, and then, you know, you could laugh about some prison wedding the moment after. So the show strikes a chord on both sides, but it's cool to see it getting that recognition as a drama.
So that is all we have for you guys today. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back next week. They'll be at 7 p.m. then.
Yes.
And until then, where can we find you guys?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Christine Bean and on Instagram at Christine I. Alexis.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at XOXOCESCA.
And you guys can find me at Brie, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram. And we will see you guys all next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.